When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/audioboom.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome to hour number three, live right here on this Friday on the Early Line on Sports Grid. He is Donnie. I am Ben. One final hour to go to send you into your weekend, a weekend that will feature a ton of Olympic games. We have basketball starting over the weekend. We have opening ceremonies on this Friday afternoon in Paris. There will be swimming events this week, track and field events the week following. Everything is getting ready to get going in Paris for the 2024 Summer Olympic Games. And we'll get you ready for everything you need to know with a ton of tennis information later in this third hour as well, before we preview a big weekend in Major League Baseball ahead of the trade deadline as well.
And also, let's get this out here today. The opening ceremonies are going to take place in France. Let me ask you this question, yes. People. We like the efficiency with our time. Why do we have basically a 4.5-hour opening ceremony? And I want to ask you this question too, Ben, because the opening ceremony is just not like, okay, let's welcome the whatever Olympiad, and then we just start like marching in all of the athletes. They circle the stadium, they take their seats, and then maybe somebody gets up and has a nice speech for 15 minutes and they all go back home. That doesn't take that long. Why do we have so many like skits and like entertainment and play? Like, I think you have like a Broadway play in the middle of this thing that you have to watch before the ceremony is over. Why is it so long? Like, why 4.5 hours?
There's the production aspect of it. There will be performances, both musical and theatrical. I am sure there's the long parade of nations. I don't know.
It's like the Super Bowl. Like, you know, we obviously the game is around it, but you can have a nice action-packed halftime like the Super Bowl that takes place within like 28 or 30 minutes. Bring a couple bands out there, have them sing, a lot of dancing, a lot of like fun. You can get in, get out. I just don't think we need 4.5 hours. That's all.
Yeah, listen, I'm not going to fault you in your thought. You ask me a lot of generic questions sometimes that I don't have the answers to. I'm not the planning committee of the IOC or of
Party
the
planner.
Olympic Games. Hey, event planner. That could be a very prestigious career, no doubt about it. So as we get ready for the Olympic Games, of course, a ton of focus will be on Team USA's basketball team, both the men's and the women's, both heavily favored to win yet another gold medal for the American men. That would be 5 consecutive golds for the American women. Even better, that would be 8 straight gold medals if both come home on top here in Paris in 2024. But will they do so without a single blemish? That was the question in Fade the Public. At Sports Grid on Twitter, will Team USA go undefeated in both men's and women's basketball? Simple question for you, simple answers, yes or no. Nearly 69% of the public saying that no, both sides will not win every single one of their games in group play, into the medal rounds, and beyond. Somebody's going to slip up somewhere. Which way did Donnie vote?
I don't think so. Like, I'm going against the public here. I voted yes that both teams will go undefeated. I think the women should be able to walk through. But also, why is the expectation that the men are going to lose when the game is on the line? By far the best team. You see how we're easily supposed to win that group. I don't think we get all that many challenges there. Now, granted, it's a one and done once you get to the knockout stage. I get it. But every single game, the men's team is going to be favored and favored by decent margins here. So if we're just figuring that the women already have this locked up, the men, one of the most talented basketball teams we've ever seen assembled, I'm going to vote yes. I'm actually surprised it's not close. I don't expect it to be 75%. Like, hey, yeah, we're rooting on Team USA. Let's just vote that way. But it should be a lot closer to 50-50 at this point. So realistically, what 69% of the people are saying is, we don't think either one of these teams are going to win the gold medal then. Like, okay, women win it, but if the men lose, they're probably losing in the knockout stage, so we don't even think they're going to get the gold medal at that point, or at least maybe even a silver medal or a bronze medal the way we're playing this out. No way, man. We're taking both of these down undefeated style.
Yeah, so that's really the interesting component of it all, right? Based on the format, can they have an opportunity to lose and still get out of the group, still win a medal? I think the American men are probably what is leading to the no here. If the American women lose, frankly, it would be unheard of. They are going to be substantial favorites in every single game. Mm-hmm. And yes, they did lose in the All-Star game to Team WNBA this past Saturday night in Phoenix. Team WNBA, if Team USA is minus 2,400 right now to win an eighth consecutive gold medal, you took all those players and they were just sitting at home during this Olympic break and Team WA was in there, they'd be minus 2,200 to win an Olympic gold medal. That is the difference in talent, in performance for U.S. women's basketball as compared to the rest of the world right now, at least at this current stage. There are some great international players, but we just have such a leg up when it comes to that. If Team USA, the women's team, does lose, that would be shocking and stunning. If the Team USA men's team does lose, I don't think, although it would cause shock waves, that people would be overly surprised. We saw the exhibition matches, and those were just exhibition matches where Brian Fonseca on the show earlier this week highlighted to us that they lost a couple of times in the exhibition lead up to the 2021 Tokyo Games a few summers ago. But I think because of that, the near defeat against South Sudan, being tested by Australia, being tested by Germany, that there is a belief that the United States is not far supreme to every other international country in the 11 of this 12-team format in the Olympic Games. They're still going to be double-digit favorites in every single game they play, unless perhaps they see Canada in the gold medal game and the spread's like 8.5 or 9.5. The Americans are going to carry great expectation to win gold, of course, into 2024.
And also, and we're not saying that the Team USA took those international friendlies by chance. Like the arenas were packed. Everybody was excited. The games were intense all the way through. But also, as you see it, and rightfully so, it's up to Team USA in those international friendly games to make sure everybody gets involved, to get a couple looks, see what works the best here. And then by the end of it, you should know your rotations that are set, which means the best five players in the world, arguably, are going to play the majority of that basketball game. It's no longer, let's take a look at somebody here that's on the bench. Let's say take a look at it. It's not as if it's a college kid that you don't even know what to expect. These are all NBA All-Stars, Hall of Famers, when it's all said and done. And now you're going to limit that rotation to, let's just say, 8 or 9 guys in the second half. Everybody coming in, theoretically, better, if not besting, the guy that you just took out of the game. That's why I don't think they're going to lose. And again, when you look at the roster itself, it's dominant. When you look at that question, it's like, oh, they can afford the trip up. Not necessarily. You're basically saying that you don't think either one of these teams, or both of them should say, should win the gold medal. And I think they will. So that's my advantage.
They could probably afford one slip up, but of course not multiple slip ups. And it would still be a little bit precarious. For instance, Team USA in the men's basketball tournament at the Paris Olympic Games, minus 400. Canada has the second best price at 10-1. The host nation, France, I think that should be 10-1 if it's not. France alongside Serbia at 15-1, tied for the third best price. The Serbians are in our group. That is Group C, of course, led by Nikola Jokic. It's how we open up the Olympic Games on Sunday morning. We'll preview the Olympic opener for the Team USA men's side in just a little bit. The United States women's team, again, minus 2,400 to win an eighth consecutive gold medal. If they do not, that would be purely and utterly shocking and maybe the biggest failure on the international stage of all the Olympians that represent Team USA entering the Olympic Games. They are going to win. They should win. The question is, I guess, just by how much.
Exactly, and that's what you're going to look forward to is them just winning the gold medal, which when we talk about the men's basketball team, you're going to get a lot closer games and a lot more enjoyment. It just seems like a coronation here, right, for Team USA women. They should walk through, and I don't know how much excitement you're going to get out of that, but they'll win it. Let's go.
We'll talk about the Olympic opener for Team USA on Sunday. Up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
The opener for the United States in men's basketball at the Olympic Games comes your way on Sunday morning. A weekend of Olympic action and a familiar face will be on the other side for Team Serbia. That's Nikola Jokic. DRS, even after the five-game exhibition lead-up for the United States and getting ready for the Olympic Games, where they were tested a few times, they were 2-3 against the spread. One of their biggest wins, their biggest, in fact, 105-79 over the Serbians, and Nikola Jokic had 16 points and 11 boards. Team USA, for its opener at the Olympics, was listed as a 16.5-point favorite against Serbia. Now, it's just a 12.5-point spread in favor of the U.S. against Serbia in the Olympic opener on Sunday morning. The over-under, 180 and a hook. What do you want to see out of the Americans in the opener in the Olympics?
I want to see a win and a cover. I actually do. Now, granted, all that really matters is you pick up the win. It's a group stage. Get a couple. You move on to the knockout stage. But sometimes you need a trendsetter here to start, which means we are here to stay. You send a shockwave, 98-68, something like that, through the system of the Olympics, and that'll get people's attention. If it already didn't have the attention for how much talent Team USA actually has. But that's my expectations. I don't want to hear at the end of this press conference where LeBron James had to make a layup with under 30 seconds to go for them to win and say, you know what? Getting our feet wet here feels good at this point. You had a long training camp. You had five games to get ready and get that rotation set. You are the best team by far here. I don't want to hear like this was a good test and we needed a little bit of camaraderie together to come together in some of these, you know, huddles. Stop the madness. You had that already. You could have joked around with South Sudan like, hey, man, we can't just roll the basketball out here and beat quality basketball teams if they're playing good basketball. I need a decisive win out of the gate to let the people know Team USA is here. This gold medal, it's ours.
There are props up and available like it's an NBA game to bet. Of course, it is different. Make sure you know the FIBA rules. Only 40 minutes, not 48 like we see in a normal NBA game. There is more physicality allowed based on where things are. Not as many free throws that you can take throughout a game. I couldn't figure out what the word was. And, of course, there was no defensive 3 seconds, so you'll see some of those big bodies just hovering around the paint. The highest points prop for Team USA, 14 and a hook out of LeBron James and Steph Curry. 19.5 is the number for Nikola Jokic. Bogdan Bogdanovic, who, of course, plays for the Atlanta Hawks, 17.5 is the number. Nikola Jokic, another familiar name at least, plays his basketball for the Miami Heat for the Serbians. The gap between the U.S. and the rest of the international sides is not nearly as large as it might have even been 10, 15 years ago. It is not just going to be easy, but Donnie's point is sound. It can still be dominant. 12.5 is that number, 180 and a hook. LeBron James was truly Captain America down the stretch against South Sudan, certainly down the stretch against Germany in their final exhibition game in London. 14.5 his number. I think my favorite Olympic prop bet for the Sunday opener, Anthony Davis, over 7.5 rebounds. He was dominant, at least, as probably our most consistent big throughout the Olympic warmups.
Yeah, and for me, because again, I'm still basing the fact on, I do think that rotation is going to settle in, even for game number one, as opposed to, oh, let's still play guys a lot of minutes. Now, granted, nobody came over here on the Team USA to say, you know what, I'll be that bench guy, be the 11th man, I really don't need that much playing time. They all want to get in because they're competitive and they're superstars and they deserve to play. Yeah. But there is going to be levels to this. It isn't as if, like, unless, again, Ben, it's a 40-point blowout win, everything changes at that point. But if you're looking at that starting five, which let's just say includes LeBron James and Steph Curry, you know they're getting the bulk of the time out there. So even with what you saw from that exhibition rounds, it's like, hey, these guys are alpha dogs. They're going to get even more playing time here. So more shots for LeBron James, more shots for Steph Curry. Like, if I'm looking from a perspective of points, do I think LeBron gets 15? I do, but I love Steph Curry getting 15 points in this game. You're telling me right now Steph's not going to leave this game with at least 4 3-point shots made, which gives you 12, and he's going to play probably 30 of the 40 minutes? Yeah, I'll take Steph Curry in that environment. LeBron James, rebounds and assists, should be up there. He's going to be more of a facilitator at this point. So I like the fact of what I see on those international friendly games and then try to transfer it over, because you know those guys are going to be involved. Now you give them more minutes, I think we're going to get some pretty good price points there if we keep these numbers under 14.5.
We also have not seen Kevin Durant yet. He was back at practice getting ready for the Olympic Games, did not play in any of the five exhibition matches in these Olympic tune-ups. I wonder how he fits into the rotation based on what Steve Kerr decides to do on Sunday against Serbia. Serbia, of course, in our group. This is group play. It is group C. Team USA is minus 1,200 to win the group. The Serbians have the second best price at plus 650. South Sudan and Puerto Rico, both in the group as well. Team USA minus 400 to win an Olympic gold medal. I will say this in terms of maybe a couple of question marks following the exhibition tune-ups that we had in that five-game showcase. The two best wins for the Americans against the two teams on the slate that have the best prices to contend for a medal or a gold medal. Canada, 11.5 was the number, beat the Canadians by 14 in the opener in the exhibition series in Las Vegas. Canada, second best price to win a gold medal at 10-1. Canada is the only other team favored with a minus money number to win a medal at the Olympics, in Serbia, a plus 118 number. France a little bit in front. The men's basketball MVP odds for the Olympic Games: LeBron James is a short favorite in comparison to everybody else at plus 320. I think part of that, Donnie, is not only that he is LeBron James, he has the experience of winning multiple gold medals, but just what we saw in the exhibition matches. He took over down the stretch when things got the diciest for Team USA.
Yep, the alpha dog. He's going to have primarily the ball in his hands, which means he's going to have the most statistics. The U.S. is going to win gold. It makes sense. Quick point here, by the way, on Kevin Durant.
Yeah.
A healthy Kevin Durant, absolutely. Absolutely should be on this basketball team. Why are we taking up a roster spot for a guy that might not play, hasn't practiced all that much yet, and just trying to get into the mix in the Olympics here? I disagree with that. Fully healthy? Absolutely. Yeah. Not healthy? Should have another superstar in his place. I'm just being real.
Yeah, I don't disagree, especially at this stage of where they are, but I guess you could speak for continuity. We'll talk about Olympic tennis next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, so there's a lot of tennis information that is here available to us through our producer, Joe Frieza. I'm not sure Olympic tennis is as significant as some might make it out to seem, but Joe really wanted to come on the show because of some technical snafus that was unable to be the case. So he put so many notes into this segment for us to get ready for the Paris primer of tennis at the Olympics. It's played at Roland Garros, which is the site of the French Open. Of course, we saw the French Open just a few months ago. Frieza, remind me, as you can speak to us through our IFBs and headsets, Iga Swiatek dominant on the women's side on clay. Was it Alcaraz that won the men's French Open title this year? Yes, it was. He's gone back-to-back at the French Open and at Wimbledon. So here are the odds, DRS, of where things stand on both the men's and women's singles matches at the Olympic Games in tennis. Carlos Alcaraz, the odds-on favorite, minus 135, followed by Novak Djokovic, Sasha Zverev, Rafael Nadal, and Casper Ruud. The women's singles, Iga Swiatek, the hefty favorite at minus 250. Coco Gauff carrying the flag for Team USA during the opening ceremonies on this Friday afternoon. Second best price at plus 650. So that's where things stand. Donnie, your thoughts on Olympic tennis?
I think Alcaraz wins. I think Swiatek wins. And also, by the way, I would like to take my computer right now, if I could, and just turn it around and show it in front of my camera.
I mean,
because we're set up for we might as well be on network TV right now, trying to set the tone for the Olympics in tennis for a 4-hour show with how many notes we have built in at this point right now. Yeah.
You can't see it at all. But like, there are multiple paragraphs. Like, you know the meme that's like, I'm not reading all that, sorry it happened, or congratulations, depending on where things are.
That's
how I feel here. Friso told me that he was going to put in so many notes. I told him he should just come on the show. He could take my spot for this segment and just speak for six consecutive minutes.
Mine too.
Or just like open up, 100%. Honestly, it could be, you know, what is the final 10 with Ben or Ben's College Corner now? Just Friso's tennis watch list for the Olympic Games. We have a graphic that talks about his main storylines. Joe's Paris tennis watch list. His main five storylines. And for each of these bullet points, there are 7 or 8 paragraphs of information. How in the world he thought we were going to read through this and decipher the information to give the Cliff Notes is insane. The fact that he wrote this much or has this much tennis information is insane. I mean, this guy should be hosted in game live over the weekends when we have Olympic tennis. Do you want me to even try to read through some of this?
Yeah, I guess, because I don't feel like reading through it, so you do it. Yeah.
Donnie, we'll alternate. I'll take 1, 3, and 5. You take 2 and 4. Here's point number 1 from Joe Friso, our producer and tennis aficionado. Rafa's last dance? Question mark. Olympics being played at Roland Garros, where Nadal has won 14 French Opens, 112-4 overall. Only confirmed tournament on his calendar after this is Laver Cup exhibition. Won 2008 gold medal on hard court in Beijing. Would face Djokovic in round 2, although he is now in a bit of doubt for singles after setback in practice. Favored to win gold in doubles with his countryman Carlos Alcaraz for Spain, opened at plus 650, now plus 210, won the gold with Mark Lopez in Rio in 2016. That was all the information and the notes available for just point one. Yeah, go ahead.
By the way, in point number 2, it does say Novak is going for gold. Now, if we look at this, we're like, how come he struggles a lot in the Olympics here? So that's a certain, like, you would want to fade. It says only thing missing in Djokovic's career is a gold medal. Bronze in 08, fourth place in 12, round 1 in 2016, and fourth place in 2020. Guy just can't step up. I mean, what is he's not taking this seriously?
Yeah.
He takes other tennis tournaments more seriously? Yeah, you got to fade. So what I got out of this, we're fading Djokovic in this. Can't happen. Can't win a gold. Just can't
do gold medals. Joe, tell us right now in our IFB and headset, do gold medals in tennis even compare to a Grand Slam?
Mm. Wow.
Oh, he says they do. Okay, good to know. Wow. I didn't know that, right? Because we talked about the gold medal in golf. It doesn't really mean anything. Of course, golf, the Olympic Games, has not been around nearly as much. DRS, did you read deeper into note number 2? It says number 1 seed but tougher draw. Did you read after that?
See, I mean, they're trying to Ron Burgundy me. I'm too smart for that, man. I got to be like, don't tell me to read something to get me fired off of this network either. It's not going to happen. Too smart for that.
Trying to get you. Trying to get you.
Yep.
Olympic tennis gets started pretty soon. Major League Baseball breakdowns up next here on TPL.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
By the way, just to finish this off, Joe Friso's Olympic tennis predictions and picks to win the gold on the men's side, it's Carlos Alcaraz. Sasha Zverev to finish with a silver medal. Casper Ruud with a bronze medal. And Novak Djokovic missing out on a medal once again. On the women's side, Iga Swiatek wins gold. She's dominant on clay. She's like Rafael Nadal, but for women's tennis. Coco Gauff finishing with a silver medal. Is this Beatriz Haddad-Maia? Is that how I say it? Finishing with a bronze?
I think it's beet rice. I think it's beet rice, to be honest.
Beet Riz, brother. She's got the Riz. Uh-huh. And Leila Fernandez finishing outside of the medal podium in fourth. Bonus, Rafael Nadal and Carlos Alcaraz win doubles. Mm. All right, I think we need to set a precedent here. If we are going to talk Olympic tennis for a full segment once again, Joe Friso has to be on air. Can we all agree?
He's been on before. Whoa.
Yes.
Whoa. Darn, I thought you froze for a second, Ben. That was pretty good. Do that again. Like, hold it. Like, you just went like this on me.
Hold on a second.
That was pretty good.
I thought some breaking news just happened.
Wow.
I thought we just had a big, like, contract extension. Jordan Love got paid. That was your... No, that's
you
just your reaction for when
right
chaos
really
might
good.
Potentially...
Yeah, I was like, oh, it looks like I'm going to have to go live again. Then you moved. Yeah, like I was like, oh, Ben's frozen. Fantastic. Let me see if I can carry this over. Like, that's a pretty good frozen shot right there. You'd never know the difference. It's good, man. It's good. You
that's
know
like
what?
A street performer right there. Yeah.
You know what? This has to be used at later. Like, because now that me and you, like, we'll ruin our, like, you know, because we know that we can freeze each other up. I'm going to have to do that. Yeah. Ranieri's on with me. I'm going to hit him multiple times in a show, mid-sentence, and go like this. Like, that would work. Like, you would know. You would never know. And be like, okay, I guess I got to take control. Maybe even the people in the back, like the producers in the background are going to start to fall for that, too. That's pretty good. I think anybody's have, like, if I need, like, if you're like, you know what? I really don't want to be on the show anymore. Just freeze yourself without getting off. Like, okay, got to take the guy off the air. You know what I mean? You can free segment together. Learning things as I go here.
Ooh, this guy is plotting ways to cause chaos and disruption. Yeah. To the national television and radio show
Kevin
that he hosts.
Appreciate that. There... Maybe Kevin will appreciate that live. Yeah.
Your next guest spot on GTD, you have to do it.
I have to
you
freeze.
You have to do it.
Hit the freeze. Yep. Absolutely.
Oh, man. That's just so good. That just shows where Donnie Wright's priorities do, in fact, lie. All right. I think the second favorite thing for Donnie outside of chaos on Sports Grid programming is some baseball breakdowns on a full Friday slate. A great weekend card around Major League Baseball. Some really marquee matchups. We saw that get started yesterday in certain spots. The Mets and the Braves continuing through the long weekend. And here's another one. A World Series preview, perhaps not something we would have thought of saying just a few weeks ago, at least for the American League perspective of this conversation. That's the Houston Astros, but it's hard to say that's not a reality now. Houston, a home favorite today. Framber Valdez gets the start for the Astros. They're a favorite at home against the Dodgers. Again, L.A. not often booked as a dog. Gavin Stone out there for L.A. They just won 3 of 4 games in their midweek set against the Giants. The Dodgers have won 6 of 7 since returning from the All-Star break. What do you like tonight in the opener in H-Town?
I got to tell you, I think I might be leaning towards an under here. I like both of these lineups, but these pitchers, I think, have been decent over the past 60 days. Take a look at Framber Valdez, going to be on his home bump. He'll certainly like that. An 88 xFIP minus over the past 2 months, a 318 ERA, and a 359 for xFIP number. That's very good. You take a look at Gavin Stone. He's not too far behind, Ben. A 93 xFIP minus and a 279 ERA and a 374 xFIP number. If we're lining up the team, talk about the Dodgers lineup 1 through 9, Ohtani, Smith, Freeman, and Hernandez have done very well against left-handed pitching over the past 60 days. Outside of that, other guys struggling, Páez, Vargas, Hernandez, Lux, and Ahmed, not so great. Let's go over to the other side and take a look at how Gavin Stone matches up. How about this? Starting to come alive at the plate, the Houston Astros, right? The record getting better. They're starting to hit, and they're starting to pitch better. You take a look at Altuve, Alvarez, Diaz, Singleton, Peña, and Caratini. All of those guys, elevated numbers over the past 30 days against right-handed pitching. I give the edge to Houston here, but I also think this game is going to stay under the total.
Yeah, 8.5 is that number, but the under does have the juice. The Astros have not been sensational since returning from the break. They avoided the sweep against the A's in their midweek set. Did have Thursday off. LA played on Thursday in the afternoon. Now has to travel to Houston. Another World Series preview, perhaps? It's the Guardians and the Phillies in the city of brotherly love this weekend. The Phillies have lost three straight series on either side of the break. Not great for the Phillies. So the Twins and the Pirates since returning from the break to the Oakland Athletics before the All-Star break. And we shared the Guardians just split their four-game set with the Detroit Tigers, but they are not playing great baseball at this moment. But it's still a World Series preview because the Phillies have the best record in the National League in all of the bigs. Cleveland enters this weekend set at 61-41, tied with Baltimore for the best record in the American League. The Fightin's a hefty home favorite today at minus 178. Will Philly make good on that price and take the opener?
Should be able to do that, Ben, because Sanchez is on the mound, and he is the true number three pitcher right now in the Philadelphia Phillies. Take a look at his season. 446 batters he's faced. How about an ISO of 077? That's not 44 batters. That's almost 450 batters. Weighted on base percentage, 283. Low walk percentage. Even over the past 30 days, ISO power number climbs, per se, to .106, which is fantastic. You take a look at the weighted on base percentage, actually drops to a 277, and you're getting Cleveland at the right time. Well, that offense really isn't clicking. Outside of the first three guys, Juan, Martinez, and Ramirez, they have high ISO power numbers. Not a lot throughout the rest of that lineup to love here, so Sanchez should be able to keep them down. Now, the question's going to come here, as I just told you. Better pitcher on the mound is Sanchez, but Lively has been average at best. A 106 xFIP minus number over the past 60 days, a 4 ERA, a 4.35. But this is an affiliates lineup that's absolutely battering the baseball. And Lively is a right-handed pitcher, but how about this? Past 30 days, Trey Turner, Bryce Harper, Nick Castellanos, and Brandon Marsh. Everybody else not doing so hot. And that includes Kyle Schwarber, who you would figure left-handed batter against its right-handed pitching. How about a 125 ISO? That's not Schwarber-like. How about a weighted on base percentage of 226? That's not great either. Something has to give tonight. I'm going to trust the Philadelphia Phillies playing well at home with a good pitcher on the mound. Should be able to beat the Guardians today because, again, Guardians not coming in great form here. Give me the Phillies today over the Guardians.
The Phillies have lost six of their last nine. The Guardians have lost eight of their last 12. Who gets the opener today in Philly? The Phillies booked as a hefty favorite. Now we go to the Midwest. Kansas City taking on Chicago. The Royals fully in to wild card contention in the American League. The Cubbies, not so much. Brady Singer on the bump for the Royals. They're booked as greater than $1.50 favorite at home in Kauffman. Total of nine. What's the play in KC?
Hard to back Chicago, again, until we see what's going to happen to the trade deadline and see what this team is made of, because we're expecting pieces to be sold. If you're looking for an RBI prop shot tonight and say, you know what, I don't trust Chicago to win, probably look no further than Ian Happ, switch hitter in that lineup, which means he'll be batting from the left side. Last 83 at-bats against right-handed pitching. He's got a 358 ISO and a 419 weighted on-base percentage. Brady Singer, if there's one area that he does struggle with this season, it's against left-handed batters. I think that does make some sense. Let's flip it over to Kansas City. Kyle Hendricks, certainly not my favorite pitcher by long stretch. The one thing that's interesting with his splits, Ben, against lefties, he gets crushed. Against righties, he's actually very good. Looking at the lineup today, Adam Frazier, Vinny Pasquantino, Michael Massey, Drew Waters, Kyle Isbell. It's not a great looking left-handed side, but also, does Bobby Witt care? He's a right-handed batter. Oh, he can't hit Kyle Hendricks. He'll probably wind up with three shots here. You're also getting that bump where, look, Kansas City wants to make the playoffs. Chicago wants to sell. They're probably going to win this game, but maybe RBI props, your best option at this point until we see what the Cubs are made of after the trade deadline here, Ben.
Yeah, Donnie, I think it's a really good look. KC had won five straight games that came to an end in their most recent matchup. Plenty more MLB breakdowns around the weekend and this Friday slate up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
History yesterday for the Padres, the Orioles avoiding a sweep to the Miami Marlins. They meet up today to start a weekend set inside Camden Yards in the Charm City. The O is a $2 home favorite. Grayson Rodriguez gets the start. Adam Mazur on the other side for San Diego. Of course, yesterday it was Dylan Cease tossing the second no-no in Padres franchise history, joining Joe Musgrove back in 2021. And the Padres playing pretty good baseball as of this moment. They've won five straight. The O is not necessarily their best brand of baseball. What gives today in Baltimore?
I'll tell you what gives. Baltimore getting some pretty good luck here as of late with starting pitchers they're going up against. Yesterday, Roderick Munoz, by far the worst pitcher on the card. They hammer him. They end up scoring seven total runs in that game. We might have a repeat performance. And as we said, like San Diego had a no-hitter yesterday. That no-hitter might last only one batter today because Adam Mazur, take a look at this. 28 pitchers active on the card today with at least 20 innings pitched over the past 60 days. He's got a 149 xFIP minus. If you don't like that number, how about you're an ERA guy? 7.8 over the past 60 days. How about an xFIP number? 6.03. You like Sierra numbers, skill interactive ERA? 5.86. Every single category, he is the worst. So you see yesterday, seven runs plated for the Orioles. I'm expecting five-plus runs at least once again for the Baltimore Orioles today. Forget about the side. Forget about the total. Just focus on Baltimore. They should pound Adam Mazur today.
The O's now 61-41, tied for the best record in the American League alongside Cleveland. San Diego on this five-game win streak now has a half-game advantage over St. Louis for the third and final National League wild card spot. Rivalry weekend inside Fenway between the Red Sox and the Yankees. Boston has won four of the six regular season matchups against New York so far this year. The Yanks, who were swept against their other rivals, their in-city rivals, the New York Mets, this season in all four games, try not to have that be the case where they struggle in their biggest matchups against their biggest rivals. They are road favorites today. Nestor Cortez gets the start for the Pinstripes. It's a minus 118 number. 9.5 the total in Fenway. Might we see some offense tonight in Beantown?
Oh, I think we do, and that 9.5 is certainly an indicator there. Two pitchers that can certainly be had tonight. Talking about 78-degree temperatures up in Boston. Light winds blowing won't affect the baseball either way. The only problem is, which form are we coming into? The Boston Red Sox ain't looking that great as of late. You take a look at the New York Yankees, just coming off the Subway Series, now having to get up here for another rivalry there in the Boston Red Sox. For me, there's no real angle in this. Nestor Cortez is going to be the starter. He's a left-handed pitcher. He's actually very, very good against left-handed batters, which when you're looking at this lineup, it's Devers, it's Duran. You want to quiet those guys down. We'll see if we can. But he is really susceptible, Ben, to right-handed batters, which means a 438 ISO power number the last 72 batters, a 493 weighted on base percentage. How can he trust that at this point? So just coming down to simplistic, right? Bello's not a great pitcher by any stretch, and the Yankees should be able to score as well. So I just say, who's getting plus money? Oh, the home team is? Yeah, give me the home team in this environment here. I'll take the Boston Red Sox.
The Red Sox have lost five of six since the All-Star break, swept last weekend by the Dodgers in L.A. They dropped two of three at Coors Field to the Rockies. In their most recent game, Colorado put up 20 against Boston. Now we go to Citi Field, where the good times just keep rolling for the New York Mets, 32-18 in the last 2 months. And how do things get even better? Kodai Senga makes his 2024 MLB debut today. It's his first start of the season. Last year, in his opening year in the bigs with the Mets, he had a 2.98 ERA. That was fifth best in all of the major leagues. They're the favorite, are the Amazons today at home against Atlanta. Yesterday, it was the Braves as the road favorite, and the Mets won as an underdog. What do you like in game number two of this set at Citi Field?
It's the Atlanta Braves. You scroll past that column that says which money line do you want to take, and you just take a look at that total and say 7.5. I don't think they get eight runs here. Charlie Morton has been a decent pitcher here, but he is very susceptible to right-handed batters. You got some pretty good power-hitting batters in that right-hand side. Obviously, J.J. Martinez, Pete Alonso, Vientos in the middle of that lineup. You get the picture. But the problem is going to be is like, hey, what are you getting out of Kodai Senga? What do you need out of him? If he goes four innings pitch, he gives it like one earned run. Like, that's like a great offensive performance for the Atlanta Braves, it feels, from a time-to-time basis. I just look at the rosters and say, sometimes you have to ride the momentum. The Mets are in much better form. They're going to get a bump by seeing Senga out there, unless he's coming back into the rotation. And by the way, I do say this because Kodai Senga, on his warm-up starts. A couple decent ones. You know his last one, Ben? 3 innings pitched, 19 total batters, 5 earned runs, and 3 walks here with only 1 strikeout. So it's not as if he's coming off a, I just went 6 innings pitched, nobody touched me in the minor league system, let's get after it here.
Yeah.
He really struggled in that last start. But still, it's the Atlanta Braves. He's back in Major League Baseball. I think the under happens. I don't know if I lean towards the Mets, but I certainly don't want to put any money on the Atlanta Braves right now. You just can't trust that baseball team.
A couple of rarities in this Major League Baseball season, both on display today. Braves and the Dodgers are both booked as an underdog. It will be game 10 this year for the Dodgers, the least amount in the bigs booked as an underdog. It will be game 12 as an underdog for Atlanta. Neither good as the dog. The Braves so far this year, 4-7 straight up, LA 3-6. When they're booked as an underdog, it is for a reason. If the Mets win, booked as a home money line favorite, they can leapfrog the Braves for the number one spot in the National League wild card race, because there are 6 teams right now, including Atlanta, New York, St. Louis, San Diego, Arizona, and Pittsburgh, that are separated by just 2.5 games for all 3 of the National League wild card spots. And speaking of Arizona and Pittsburgh, they square off this weekend in the desert. The Diamondbacks, a -174 favorite for the opener.
By the way, you look at this lineup today for Arizona against right-handed pitching. They have been absolutely scorching hot. Just about every single player in that lineup, 8 guys above average ISO power number, 8 guys above average weighted on base percentage going up against righties. But how about Luis Ortiz? You know, we talk about so many times Paul Skenes and some other pitchers they have. Take a look at his last 60 days, Ben. An 83 xFIP minus, elite. A 1.97 ERA, elite. An xFIP number, 3.31. So that a hot lineup going against a very good pitcher, that should be interesting. Flip it over quickly to the other side, and you say Zach Gallen's over there? We're probably looking at an under, but this feels like a playoff baseball game with 2 teams that might be playing for one of those wild card spots. I like where we see maybe an under is in the best interest out there.
No doubt about it. DRS, we send you into your weekend early. I guess not that early. The money line starts at 11 a.m. Eastern. He's frozen. He's gone. More TEL next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Live right here on the early line for just a few more minutes before we send you into your weekend. One more Major League Baseball game just to show you here quickly so you can see the odds of what is at stake tonight in the 6th. The Toronto Blue Jays, what does this weekend hold? We have already started to see a couple of moves ahead of the MLB trade deadline on Tuesday evening. Might the Blue Jays be sellers at the deadline? They're a home favorite tonight against the Texas Rangers, -120. Total is 8.5. The Rangers, one of the hottest teams in the bigs at the moment. They have won 5 straight games, only 2.5 games back at this current moment. Are the Rangers from the top spot in the American League West, behind the Astros and behind the Mariners? A 1-game distinction, Houston in front of Seattle. We shared earlier in the show, 3 days in Indianapolis at Big Ten Media Days came to a close yesterday. 4 days in Charlotte at ACC Media Days, now officially over as well. All 4 of the power conferences still standing in FBS college football have now concluded their media days. Talking season is over. Fall camp on the horizon, and the 2024 college football campaign gets started in just 4 Saturdays. Let me make sure I do my math correctly. 5 Saturdays. Anyway, 5 Saturdays, including tomorrow. So 4 weeks from it, we'll figure all of that out. But one of the storylines entering this year, as we shared with ACC Media Days, is who wins that top spot in the conference. There are 3 teams right now separated by less than $2 for that favored price. Florida State, the favorites, +270. We talked about Miami earlier this week. Third best number on the Hurricanes at +440. Sandwiched in between a perennial powerhouse in ACC football, the Clemson Tigers at +390. Clemson has won the ACC 7 of the last 9 seasons, not last year and not in 2021. In fact, last year was disastrous by Clemson football standards. They were just 4-4 in conference play. the first time the Tigers had lost four ACC games since Dabo Swinney's second full year as the head coach in Clemson, South Carolina, back in 2010. Dabo takes a lot of flack, in my opinion, rightfully so, for some very strange quotes and words that he says, especially as it pertains to the ever-evolving landscape of college football, the NIL and transfer portal era. Dabo Swinney a few years ago, I believe it was back in 2018, 2019, was famous for saying, "The day that college athletes are paid is the day that I will retire from the sport." He's still there, but maybe quiet quitting on us, at least at this moment. There are four schools this offseason that did not take in a single transfer in the spring transfer portal window for FBS schools. The three service academies, Army, Air Force, and Navy, I think we can understand why they might not be the hotbed of a transfer portal destination, in the Clemson Tigers. It has been clear that Clemson's roster has been lacking talent-wise, at least based on previous standards, in the big-time NIL and transfer portal era. NIL started three summers ago, July 1st, 2021. That matches up perfectly with the decline of Clemson football, at least based on standard expectations. This was Dabo Swinney this week in Charlotte at ACC Media Days. Quote, "I'm not anti-portal. I'm pro the young men. Talented young men that I believe in on our team, that believe in me, that believe in Clemson." Dabo's not wrong in that assessment. I still believe development wins the day. Yes, you have to embrace all of the changes and the evolutions that we see on the college football landscape. And that means attacking the transfer portal, but roster construction strictly through transfer portal additions is not your way to success. Development is. But if you are so hesitant to embrace one, you are never going to have the whole picture of success. I mentioned 2021. That's when the transfer portal and NIL fully came underway. The Clemson Tigers have not reached the college football playoff in that span, when they were a perennial college football playoff team for six consecutive years in the 6 years prior. 8.5, the win total for the Tigers. The over has the hefty juice. But does a 9-3 Clemson team contend for the ACC title or a college football playoff appearance? I'm not so sure. And if it's four straight years without a CFP spot, what exactly is the noise in Clemson, South Carolina at this point next summer? Have a great weekend, everybody. We'll see you on Monday here on the Early Line.